camp out that Brother Chad is putting together. And so if you guys are interested in having just a fun night with the Munchkins, then sign up for it. I think there's about 30 people that maybe have signed up right now for the camp out. I'll probably be up here for a little while. I'm camping out at 1515 Lee Peters Road. But I will be back early that morning, and I'll have breakfast with everybody. The last time I camped out, I was down at a deer club. It started raining in the middle of the night. The air mattress that I was on went flat, and I was not a happy camper the next morning. It took me 3 days to get over the soreness. And so, anyway, but I'll be up here on that Friday night, and then I'll be back that Saturday morning. But it's going to be a good month for us. And so I hope that you will be here for every service that you possibly can. The message today is entitled Family Circles, not Circus, all right? Family Circus is a cartoon that I understand is still in the newspaper on Sundays. And so it's Family Circles. How did I come up with that name? Well, it's not original with me. I wished it were, but it's not. The principles that I will be giving you have been around forever. I learned them 40 years ago. But it wasn't until about 3 years ago that I was put, I guess, in possession of what I'm going to show you today. And this is the brainchild of one of my heroes, a man named Emory Boker. Brother Boker has a son named Joe who preached for us a couple of years ago in our mission conference. Probably preached the best message of that conference. Joe pastors down in Macon at the Berean Baptist Church. His dad was named Emory. He was one of the wisest, best preachers that the state of Georgia has ever had. That's just the bottom line. At one time, the Gilead Baptist Church in Macon was the go-to church if you were in Macon. And so it was because of the leadership of Brother Boker. Well, he died way too early. He was on vacation with his family in Florida. They had gone down either to the pool or to the beach, and he said, you know, I just think I'm going to stay here in the room. And he died of a massive heart attack while his family was out. But his work and his legacy with his family still lives. Well, about 3 years ago, Joe was telling me about his dad's material, and I said, I need you to get me a copy of that. And so this message has been 3 years in the making with me because I'd never seen it put this simple before. And you say, well, I can't believe that you haven't thought about this when you see it. Well, I'm a simple man, all right? You may be a brilliant man, but I'm a simple man. And so this morning I want you to know that the principles have always been in our Bible. But it was only 3 years ago when I was able to see this illustration, and I want to give credit to where credit's due. This is the creation of Brother Boker. Now, the nuclear family as we know it, and when I say nuclear family, I'm talking about the traditional family, where you've got a dad, a mom, and kids, all right? In 2014, Americans living in that setup was only 46% of the country. In 1960, 73%. Now, we're not breaking it down as far as racial components here. This is just strictly people that are Americans, okay? In 1960, 73% of all Americans of any nationality, any race, lived in a nuclear home. Well, what about children born outside of marriage? Well, in 2014, 41%, a little over 40 out of every 100, 4 out of 10, were born into a home where marriage was not a part of it. In 1960, percentage was 5. 5 out of 100. And the one demographic that is always consistent right across the board for poverty is this. The majority of times, it's a single mom that has children that's always the one that's most in poverty in this country. And so when the family begins to disintegrate, trouble begins to follow. And I believe that, you know, that the research has borne that out. How many of you know what Obergefell versus Hodges is? You will whenever I tell you about it. Do you remember back in 2015, there was a group of guys called the Supreme Court? And what did they rule? By a 5-4 decision, the Supremes, and not the one with Diana Ross, all right? Some of you young people go, who? You know, you older people are going, oh yeah, I know that. Don't say that too much, okay? You maybe, you know, tell everybody you know that you're still a heathen. All right. But not the Diana Ross and the Supremes, but the Supreme Court ruled 5-4 that marriage was no longer between one man, one woman. President Obama at the time came out and he said, that decision came like a thunderbolt, and he was right about that. Of course, he was in favor of it. We were not in favor of it. But it came like a thunderbolt, and that's a true statement. Jerry Springer started walking in. You say, what in the world does that mean? Have you ever seen that nut on television? Okay. Well, when marriage became no longer one man, one woman, they changed the definition. If you can change it once, why can't you change it twice? Why can't you change it three times? Why can't you change it 20 times? And so a quick search of the internet found this. People are trying to marry multiple people. One man wants to marry his dog. Another wants to marry his daughter. Guy wants to marry his car. One guy wants to marry a dolphin. Now I'm telling you, they're nuts everywhere. One guy wants to marry his computer. Guy wants to marry his mother, another guy's grandmother, and then I found a woman that wants to marry her bicycle. Now you say, well, that's just silly. Well, before 2015, we would have thought anything else was silly. And so definitions change. But I want to give you some priorities this morning. I want to give you some circles. If you will adhere to this, you'll be fine. You're not going to get all frustrated by watching cable news. Do you know, of course, we don't have cable anymore, but I quit watching the news and any type of news after 6 o'clock at night. You say, why? Don't you like to sleep? All right? I like to sleep. I mean, whenever I go to bed, I mean, it doesn't matter if I go to bed at 1 o'clock or if I go to bed at 11 o'clock, I'm going to be awake at 5 o'clock. And so I like to sleep whenever I can. And so therefore, why get all agitated by watching any of the cable shows? Just say, you know what? I'm just a pilgrim passing through. My citizenship's in heaven. Now, am I a citizen of America? Yeah, I am. And I'm proud of that. I like being an American. I've been to other places. With all of our problems, this is still the best. All right? And so I want to give you what I call circles of priorities. These are Brother Boker's. All right? First thing, and we're going to look at these individuals. I'm going to give them to you quick, and then I'm going to go back, and we're going to look at them. God is first, our text verse. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And so God is your first priority. And I want you to notice the location. That's the bullseye. All right? Not only that, the second circle is your spouse. Now, let me just say this. There are times when circles change. The number one circle never changes. There are times when you have spouses that die. You have husbands that pass away. You have wives that pass away. And we've got many people in our church this morning, and you have suffered that devastating loss. There are times whenever you have situations such as divorce that steps into a family. And in those situations, the circle will change. But the number one circle never changes. But what we're looking at is we're looking at circles of priority. And so the number two circle is your spouse. Now, I want you to flip over to Mark chapter 10, and I want you to look with me very quickly, and we're gonna go through these. I'll tell you what, let's don't do that. I'm going to show it to you in a minute. I want to save time this morning. Let's just look at three. Children, that's the third circle. You say, now, wait a minute, my kids are more important than my wife. No, they're not, not biblically. Your spouse, whether it be a wife or whether it be a husband, is the number one relationship. Now, I understand that there are times when your children are small that they take up more time than the spouse. But even during those early times, there ought to be situations where that the mom and the dad are by themselves, go off by themselves, spend time by themselves, right? And so children are important, but they are not the primary responsibility or primary priority. It's God, your spouse, then the children, then the church. I know of folks that want to put the church first, but I just simply look at the book of Genesis. What institution was created first? You have the home. That's the first one. And so God created that first, and so that's why I put it first. I believe in a local church. I'm going to preach some messages sometime. I thought I was going to do it in the fall. It may be in the spring, about why I'm a church member. You ought to be a church member. It's important that you be a church member. And we'll get to that in just a little bit. But that's the fourth circle of priority. And then the last is the world. And so what I want us to do is I just want to think about those five circles this morning. If you take those five priorities and you keep them where they're at, you will have a lot less trouble in your life. A lot less trouble. And so I want you to remember those. Jot them down. If you don't have time to jot them down, email me, call me. I'll give you a copy. We had a sweet lady this week call me this week and said, would you give me the notes from last Sunday's sermon? I printed them out. What's on those notes may not always be what is said, but she's got the notes from last week, all right? Sometimes you chase rabbits. And so you've got those five priorities, those circles of priority. Circle one was our text. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, you ought to circle several words in that verse. Number one, first. That's the number one thing. If your relationship with God is not right, none of the other ones are going to matter. If I'm not right with God, I won't be right with Debbie. If I'm not right with God, I won't be right with my kids. There'll be things that'll happen. I'll be short with them. I'll snap at them. I'll not get along the way that I need to. If I am not in fellowship with God, it messes up all the other relationships. And so, you ought to circle first. You ought to think about righteousness. As Christians, one of the things that God expects us to be is a holy people. Did you know that you are a saint? Did you know that saint means holy one? You're a holy one. Somebody go, well, I just don't believe that I'm just one of them holy rollers. Well, you're holy, and even if you roll a little bit, you're holy, all right? You're supposed to be. If you're not holy, you might ought to do some checking. J.C. Ryle made this statement. He said, if there's no holiness, there's no Holy Ghost. And if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you're not saved. Because the Holy Spirit of God moves in to a believer when they trust him. And so, priority one, seek the kingdom of God first, and then everything else added. Added would be the third word that I would have you look at. Circle number two. Mark chapter 10, verse 7 through 9. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother. Do you know that there are some people that just absolutely cannot cut the apron strings? They just can't. They have a hard time, and it's like, I'm more loyal to, you know, to somebody besides you. It's my daddy or my mama. Let me tell you a humorous story. This guy asked this girl out on a date. She said, well, I'll have to ask my mama. Mama, can I go out with him? Yeah, but if you go out, I got to go with you. 8 weeks in a row. Okay. Yeah, if we go out, I got to go with you. And so he said, okay. So off they went. They went out to eat. Mom sat on one side of the table. They sat on the other side of the table. Somebody get it. Okay. All right. So anyway, lost my train of thought. So they're sitting on each side of the table. Well, as they are talking, guy thinks, well, I'm having a good time anyway. So he says, hey, you want to go out again? She said, Mom, can I go? Sure. Long as I go. So every time they went out, the mom went out. Finally, he thought, well, you know, I really do like this girl. I think I'm going to ask her to marry me. So he said, would you marry me? She said, well, I have to ask my mom. Mom, can I marry him? Yeah, but I'm going to have to live with you. That okay? Well, yeah, I sure do love you, honey. So they got married. She said, now, I'm going to go on the honeymoon with you. They got one room. She got one room next door. They're gone about a week. Got back home, set up house. She had a room next door. Every day he came in, mother-in-law was there. And finally, one day after they had been married for about 6 months, they were all walking in the park. Him and his bride was walking hand in hand, about 30 feet behind him. Mother-in-law was just walking right along behind him. A lion got loose and attacked the mother-in-law. And the girl screamed, said, honey, honey, do something quick, do something quick. And he looked at her and said, I'm not going to do a thing. That lion got himself into that. He can get out the best way he can. Well, we're supposed to leave our mamas and daddies. When you get married, that's your first priority, folks. You leave and you cleave. If you want some key words here, the word cleave means to be stuck together like glue. If you want another key word, twain, which means two, becomes one. When God looks at you, you're supposed to be one. And so circle number two is your spouse. Circle three. Psalm 127:3, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Children are a blessing from God. I don't understand people that abuse children. I absolutely cannot fathom that. I get in the skin when I hear about that kind of stuff. And so children are an heritage of the Lord. In other words, God specifically gave you these kids. He made them basically from your DNA. But they are distinct. They were created in the image of God, just like you were created in the image of God. There are certain traits that God has that humans have. Now, that doesn't mean that we have the omniscience of God. It doesn't mean that we have the omnipotence of God. It doesn't even mean that we've got the immutability of God. Or the holiness of God. But there are some things that are in God's personality that he lets us have. And every one of those kids, when you look at those kids that are snaggletooth, and they got cow licks all over their head, that kid was made in the image of God. And that's your third circle. Your fourth circle is your church. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. That ought to be one of the first verses that you think about when you think about church membership. And what are you and I supposed to do as fellow believers? We're supposed to consider one another. In other words, I'm supposed to think about you. You're supposed to think about the person next to you. Who's supposed to think about the person next to him or her? Who's supposed to think about the person that's behind them? And we're supposed to consider one another. But not only that, we're to provoke. And that word provoke can have a negative and a positive connotation to it. We're supposed to provoke, which I think is a good way in this usage. And what are we to do? Unto love and to good works. 1 John tells us that we know that we are saved by how we love the brethren. You say, I just don't like them Christians. Check up. Because if you don't like hanging out with God's people, you're going to hate heaven. I have a hard time understanding why people won't forgive one another. Let me tell you something. If you won't forgive here, how are you going to stand it in heaven? You're going to be in eternity with them people. You better get some practice now. And so we are to provoke unto love and to good works. But then verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, and so much the more. In other words, we ought to be assembling more as we see the day approaching. What day is that? The day the Lord comes. And so our fourth circle is the church. That means that the fifth circle, which is the world, that means that it comes in dead last. 2 Timothy 2:4, no man warreth entangled, that it warreth, in other words, no man that fights in this battle entangles himself with the affairs of this life. In other words, you're not consumed with everything that's going on in the world. All right? In other words, God and your spouse and your children and your church is more important than what's going on in the world. Let that sink in. Doesn't mean that you don't have a job to do, but all of this other stuff that gets piled on top of it, it begins to flip the priority list. And it's not long before the world is first priority. The church gets thrown in a little bit. Sometimes the kids get kicked to the curb. Your spouse gets kicked to the curb. And then every once in a while, we'll throw a little 5-minute devotion in for God. But the bottom line, the majority of our time, we've got our priorities all flipped. You don't entangle yourself with the affairs of this life. Why? That he or we may please him, God, who hath chosen us to be a good soldier. And so you and I need to realize that there are certain priorities. Now, what are some things we need to remember? Number one, great importance to keep the circles in their proper order. If you violate this principle, you're going to have trouble. If God is not first, if church is first, and by the way, church and God can be together in some ways, but let me tell you something, when the church is not meeting, you're supposed to still have a walk with God. In other words, just because it's not Sunday, it's Monday, you still walk with God. And so it's great importance to keep the circles in their proper order. Number two, the first circle is the major factor in determining the relationship of all other circles. I mentioned just a few minutes ago, if you're not right with God, you're not going to be right with the others. And then the third thing, never should an outer circle be allowed to intrude on a more inner circle. The great Spurgeon was a young man, and he was just in a class by himself in his era. He was about 20 years old, and he had just married. And when he was 20, he was already popular. It would be nothing for him to go and preach to several hundreds and hundreds of people in the London area. One particular preaching engagement, he and his new bride got to the auditorium, and the crowd immediately just swarmed Mr. Spurgeon. And finally, he got his way to the platform, and he looked, and he finally found his new bride, and she was crying, and basically she had a poochie lip. And afterward, he said, "What's wrong?" And she said, "You left me." And he said, "I did not intentionally do that. But when I come to preach, my mind is totally focused on God. And I was making my way to the platform wanting to know what God wanted me to say. I was not thinking about you. And it will be that way, that I will always think of God before I think of you." Now, that might be hard for a new bride to accept. But the bottom line is this: he had his priorities right. Can I tell you that I would rather my wife have a relationship with God first than me? Because if she loves God the way that she ought to love God, everything's going to be great with me and her. And we had this conversation before we ever married. And I would tell her, sitting at the old chapel area over at BUA on Candler Road, I would say, "I want you to love God more than you love me. And I plan to love God more than I love you. But I want you to visualize something." I didn't do a slide for this, but I want you to visualize a triangle. Do your fingers like this. Okay? Now, I want you to visualize yourself at the bottom of the left-hand side. I want you to visualize your spouse on the right-hand side. And then I want you to put God at the pinnacle. So you've got your triangle. You've got God, your spouse, and you. As you go toward God and you're trying to have a relationship with God, do you see what's happening? You start here in your relationship with one another. But as you get closer to God, you also get closer to each other. And so you have a priority of God first. And if you will keep God first and obey God, all these other things, if they're kept in their proper priority circle, will help you to have a lot more joyful life. Listen to God. I tell you a humorous story. I know that it's a fable, but it drives the point home. There was an old man, when I say old man, he was probably late middle aged, and he had a wife, and he had some kids and grandkids, and he was poor, lived out in the country, didn't have anything to eat. One particular afternoon, his wife said, "We don't have anything for supper tonight." And he thought about it, and he thought, "Well, I got an old shotgun, and I got an old rifle. I've got an old rifle and three bullets." He said, "I guess I'd go hunting." So he put his boots on. He went out through the woods. And all of a sudden, he looked, and there was a rabbit. And he took that rifle, and he shot. Missed him. Thought, "Wow, down to two bullets." He walked a little bit farther. Next thing you know, on the side of a tree, saw a squirrel. He took that rifle, shot it, missed him. thought, I'm down to one bullet. This old gun is just not shooting right. Well, he walked next to a creek, and he stopped, and all of a sudden he looked, and there was a little tree that was about 3 feet off the ground, and it was the biggest turkey that you've ever seen, just roosting right there about 3 feet off the ground. And he thought, wow, look at the size of that tom. And all of a sudden he pulled that gun back and something said, pray first, aim high, stay focused. Well, he thought, I'm fixing to just shoot him. Got time to do all this stuff. So he's aiming, and all of a sudden, he saw something beyond the turkey. And it was a deer. He thought, ooh, I don't need to shoot a turkey. I can shoot a deer. So he's aiming, and all of a sudden, this voice goes, pray first, aim high, stay focused. And he goes, I got to shoot this thing. But he thought, I guess I better pay attention. So he says, Dear Lord, help me. Well, about that time, he heard a rattle. He looked right down between his feet, and there was a rattlesnake coiled up. So he took the gun and eased it down and put it down between his legs. But then the voice said, pray first, aim high, stay focused. And he thought, my wife, my kids, my grandkids are at home. They've got nothing to eat. What in the world am I going to do? I got a snake right here between my legs. If he bites me, I'm dead. And now I've got a voice speaking to me, telling me to pray first, aim high, and then stay focused. So he said, you know what? I'm just going to do it. So he said, Dear God, you got to help me. So he aimed. He raised his gun up a little bit. He fired his last bullet. That bullet went right through the turkey's head, killed the turkey dead, fell out the tree right there under the tree. Bullet traveled through the turkey's head, went right into the deer, hit it was a heart shot, dropped the deer right there. The guy was so startled, his feet slipped out from under him, he fell in the creek. And when he got up, he had fish in all his pockets. And not only that, the gun was so old that the stock of it fell off, fell on the rattlesnake's head and killed him dead right there. It pays to put God first. Let's stand together.